Welcome to the Rich Thoughts Podcast, where our goal is to glorify God and terrify the devil. Get ready. It's going to be a great journey.
Good morning and welcome to Rich Thoughts for Breakfast.
Before we turn the record button on, we were just talking about how today we want to glorify God and terrify the devil. And we speak the same over you. Hallelujah. We started talking yesterday about mountain-moving momentum. First, a brief review. Momentum is best defined as the amount of a force, the amount of force a moving body has because of its weight and the speed at which it's moving. In 1 Samuel 17:48 through 49, we read where David created momentum by running to meet Goliath. Let's talk about what you can do to propel yourself further than you've ever been, past all previous points of past resistance. Number one, stop seeing yourself the way others see you. Stop seeing yourself the way others see you. When we're confident who we are in Christ, when we exercise our faith, when we know our cause is just and our calling right, then we should never be moved by what others, including family and friends, might say. In 1 Samuel 17:28, David's brother questioned his judgment, demeaned his word, judged his motives, without ever giving him an opportunity to respond. In 1 Samuel 17:29-30, David didn't defend himself. He merely asked if there wasn't a cause that his brother believed in. And without waiting for an answer, he turned and started talking with someone else. See, sometimes to gain momentum in our lives or to keep it going, we have to turn from those we've been talking to, those who put negative into our lives.
Number two, despise not small beginnings. Have you ever thought about what the Israelites and the Philistines were thinking when David reached down and picked up those five stones, as mentioned in 1 Samuel 17:40? What seemed small and significant to most everybody became a destiny changer in the hands of David. The first job you ever had was just that, the first one. It didn't mean that your future success was stuck right there. Never let anyone demean your ideas or minimize your potential for success. Zechariah 4:10 says, "Do not despise these small beginnings, for the Lord rejoices to see the work begin." It's not where you start in life, it's where you end up.
Number three, make the most of where you're at and what you're doing at the moment. When the prophet Samuel came to Jesse's house to anoint the next king of Israel, David wasn't even thought of. He was left out in the wilderness with the sheep. Some people would feel left out if not offended because they weren't invited to meet the prophet. In 1 Samuel 17:34-36, we read how David made the most of where he was called to be, which gave him a confidence when opportunity arose. If God has given you a big vision, but you don't yet see the manifestation, be diligent where you are. Create a momentum for your future by your faithfulness today. Number four.
Ignore the criticisms of others when your cause is just and your direction clear. 1 Samuel 17:33, David had to deal with the doubts of King Saul. Never allow anyone other than the word of God to determine your worth, value, or potential. Never let a grumpy boss or a sarcastic supervisor or a lack of pay or recognition keep you from doing the best job you can whatever you're assigned to at the moment. Believe me, God is the one who's watching. It's important, imperative, essential, absolutely necessary that we give our best efforts where we are, regardless of what others around us say or do.
Now let's pick up where we left off yesterday. We need to become goal reward motivated.
1 Samuel 17, verse 24. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were sore afraid.
It's important to notice this verse says that all the men of Israel, including David, they ran from Goliath and were afraid. But in reading 1 Samuel 17:25, the next verse, we see where things changed for David, and he became goal, reward, motivated.
And the men of Israel said, "Have you seen this man that has come up? Surely to defy Israel is he come up. And it shall be that the man who killeth him, the king will enrich him with great riches, and will give him his daughter, and make his father's house free in Israel." Now, after running away from him, some of the men of Israel started talking about the reward being offered for killing Goliath. But then something happened to change David's mind about the challenge. He had a defining moment based on new information and motivation. 1 Samuel 17, verse 25. Listen to it again, thinking about what David fought. And the men of Israel said, "Have you seen this man that has come up? Surely to defy Israel is he come up, and it shall be that the man who killeth him, the king will enrich him with great riches, will give him his daughter, and make his house, his father's house, free in Israel."
David discovered that the person who killed Goliath would be given three things. First, the warrior who defeated Goliath would receive great riches. See, God has a benefit delivery system designed for every person who draws a breath on planet Earth. He desires for us to be rich. That's why he gave us the power to get wealth. Deuteronomy 8:18. Don't think about where you are. Think about what can be. Second, the warrior now victorious and wealthy will receive the hand of the king's beautiful daughter in marriage. Back then, if you married, and even now, if you married to the king's family, you're immediately given a favored place in the court and opportunities for wealth and success beyond your previous experience or expectation. And third, the victorious warrior would also have all their bills paid. See, the enemy wants us, you, all of us, up to our eyeballs in debt, strung out by payments, and with little, if any, hope of ever becoming debt-free. The enemy wants us to believe that we're, well, where we are in life right now is where we're going to stay. That's simply not true. Upon learning of the reward, David made a profound statement.
In 1 Samuel 17, verse 26, David said, "Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?"
David finally received the right motivation. So here's a question for each of us. What's our motivation? Hey, we identified the motivation or reward that we need to, that we need to create the momentum, our momentum for success. Think about it. Number six, recognize who will fight your battles. Recognize who will fight your battles. The enemy, like a roaring lion, will seek to break your momentum by whatever methods he can, including fear of failure or fear of the unknown. But with God on our side, we have no reason to be afraid. Psalm 118, verse 6 in the Message Bible. Hallelujah.
Psalm 118, verse 6 in the Message Bible says, "God is now at my side and I'm not afraid. Who would dare lay a hand on me?" While the situations and problems we face on a daily basis may not be life and death, they are most often the choices between success or failure, mediocrity or excellence, malaise or momentum. The momentum difference begins with the words of our mouth. 1 Samuel 17, verse 45 says, Then said David to the Philistine, "Thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. When we refuse to allow fear to break our momentum, when we know who we are in him and who's standing behind us, then we'll have a boldness in speaking to the giants in our lives. In reading 1 Samuel 17, verse 47, we clearly see God, that David knew his victory, who his victory was coming from, and that it would be sure. Because it says, and all this assembly shall know the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands.
Can somebody say hallelujah? David ran to his giant with his mouth wide open, with a spiritual momentum that was unstoppable. As David, as Goliath fatally discovered, David had the momentum for victory. Our momentum can't be stopped unless we had to happen. Every believer who uses principles based on the word will be energized, enlightened, and empowered by the Holy Spirit. And number seven, we need to create a momentum for victory. When the enemy shows up to break our momentum, to kill our dreams, we've got to be ready. In 1 Samuel 17, 48 and 49, we read where David ran quickly toward the battle line. When we're facing a hard decision or a difficult problem to solve, we don't need to be overly pensive or hesitant. We need to aggressively pursue our dream. Don't allow anyone to slow our momentum or create a fear of failure. Don't delay what needs to be done. Do it. The scripture also says that David reaches into his bag to grab the stones. He was prepared. Preparation creates confidence, which produces momentum. Let me say that again. Preparation creates confidence, which creates a momentum for success and victory in your life. David was confident in God and in the power of his might. As you journey to the debt-free lifestyle and the good life picks up momentum, praise God at every step for the mighty things he's allowed and empowered you to achieve. The decision to create a momentum in your life is yours. It will be created and as effective as you decide for it to be. Here are seven things to keep the momentum going in your life. One, purpose in your heart that nothing will keep you from achieving your goals. Two, read your Bible every morning. Basically, I recommend at the same time. Three, spend time in prayer first thing each morning. Second, operate on a daily timeline with goals. Third, create a confession about the momentum you desire in life. Hallelujah. That was fifth. Six, every day for at least 1 hour, listen to a CD or MP3, a podcast, or read a book that motivates you at least for an hour. And, of course, number seven, and really important, is to listen to the Rich Thoughts for Breakfast call every day, every day. Let me say a quick word, too. Something stirred in me yesterday. The scripture says that every name shall bow to the name of Jesus. Irma, the hurricane, is a name, and it must bow to the name of Jesus. As believers, we need to be praying for Irma to be subject to the name of Jesus. And in the name of Jesus, we speak that it dissolve, dissipate, go to the east, and die in the middle of the Atlantic. I'm not saying we shouldn't prepare, but I'm saying that we should be praying more than we prepare. That's what I'm saying. Our friends on the call who endured Harvey, keep them in prayer. Hallelujah. We love you. We really do. We really do. Till tomorrow morning at 8:30 Eastern, God bless you. Happy trails.
And keep thinking rich thoughts.
God bless you. Have a fabulous day. Bye-bye. A gigantic day. Bye-bye.